In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Well, thank God we all found our way into the church by another way. So today we hear the story of the demoniacs who encounter Jesus. When the Bible speaks of demoniacs, it's understandable that one's mind tends to think of the Hollywood depiction of demonic possession. At least that's initially where my mind tends to go. But these depictions are not necessarily helpful in understanding what is really happening. So rather than trying to understand the scriptures and the spiritual reality in terms and images set by our culture, we should instead turn to what we already know about the spiritual life. So St. Athanasius the Great, this wonderful bishop of the 4th century, famously said, "God became man that man might become God," small g, God. That by uniting ourselves to God and allowing him to sanctify every aspect of our being, we can become by grace what he is in his nature. And the more we nurture the habit of turning to God in every situation, his will becomes our will. His desires become our desires. And in this way, everything that leads us to God and his kingdom is a joy. This is theosis, or deification, becoming like God. And so if it is possible to become like God by uniting ourselves to him, the same is also true if we choose to unite ourselves instead to the demonic powers. The more we nurture a habit of sin, following the will of these rebellious spirits, the more we are alienated from God and we give ourselves over to the demons. And this path leads to the experience of God and his kingdom as something not joyous, but distasteful, even as torment, as these demons experienced him. This is the opposite of deification. And perhaps, as suggested on a popular Orthodox podcast, we might call it demonization instead. By repeatedly partnering oneself to demonic rebellion, rejecting God's grace and love, rather than growing more like God, the person becomes instead more like the demons. So much so that they are unrecognizable as themselves. Now it is important to bring us to a true understanding of the spiritual reality in order to understand the hope that we also have in Christ. When these two demonized men who had given themselves over to the rebellious demons met Jesus, they cried out, saying, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now Jesus, just before encountering these men, had also calmed the storm in the boat with his disciples. And having experienced this miraculous command over the sea, his disciples marveled, asking themselves, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." But yet still a man, they thought. Another bishop of our church, St. John Chrysostom, comments that because they, having seen his divine power over the sea, still called him a man, the devils came proclaiming his Godhead. He who calmed the sea with a word, by his presence made still those whose chains could not hold. And when man failed to acknowledge Jesus as the God who created the heavens and the earth, including the angelic beings and humanity, even these these rebellious angels could not help but proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, just by his presence. We get further insight about the demonic confession from St. Cyril of Alexandria, another bishop. who explains, "They cried out, 'You have come before the time,' for they knew the scriptures from the scriptures that Christ was going to come and would judge them. While still ignorant of Christ's victory over death, which had not yet occurred, and the destruction of their power, the demons knew from scriptures that Christ was going to come and would judge them. And so now the demons, encountering Christ as a fearful and tormenting presence, beg to be allowed to enter a nearby herd of swine." I have a note here. Insert deviled ham joke here. Now the question is often raised, why would Christ allow this to happen? Why would Jesus give the demons what they ask for? It's a valid question. Why would he do this? And again, turning to that golden mouth bishop, John Chrysostom, we receive a little more enlightenment on the issue. The demons asked this so they could drown the swine in the hopes that the owners would be grieved and would not welcome Christ. And indeed, this is exactly what happened. The herdsmen ran away, told everyone in the city what happened, and they begged Christ to leave. However, Christ granted the demons their request in order to show how great their bitterness is toward men. That if they had the power, and they were not prevented as they are by God, the demons would do worse things to us than even they did to the swine. Are we then to join the people of the city who begged Jesus to leave because the herd of swine ran into the sea? They preferred the presence of these demons in the men to the presence of Christ in their midst. Certainly we can understand the herdsmen's distress that their livelihood was gone. Yet, an encounter with God who commands the sea and the demons should bring a joy that surpasses any loss of wealth, not to mention the joy that we should have at the salvation of the two men from the power of the demons. As a parent, I can't help but think that these men were someone's children, perhaps someone's brother or a dear friend. And the grief that must come with losing a loved one to the complete influence of the demons must be great. And the joy of their safe return must be even greater. As parents, brothers, sisters, and friends, what can we do to prevent our loved ones from falling to demonic influence in the first place, as these two men did? We can become Christ's presence to them. In our Archdiocese annual convention yesterday, Metropolitan Joseph spoke on how we can keep our youth in the church, among other things. And it begins with us, and it begins at home. He said, first, pray for the youth every day. They don't even have to be your kids, but pray for them. Prayerful is a powerful thing. When we pray, we bring those we love to God, and he hears our prayers and draws close both to us and to those we are praying for. Secondly, welcome God into your home. If prayer and spiritual discussion are absent from the home, it becomes an unfamiliar thing. Praying together at home and talking about God fosters familiarity with him. This is an important step. God must be at the home if he's to stay with us when we leave the home. And thirdly, make church a priority. If you want your children to stay in the church, you have to bring them to church, and often. Children see our example, and they follow it. Now, there have been often made comparisons to the amount of time that our children have influences by school teachers, by friends, by whatever screens they may be attached to, compared to the amount of time that we spend in prayer and reading the scriptures in edifying ourselves with this spiritual fruit. And the difference is great. Our children need the church, more of it and not less. The best way that we can help guide the youth to love and to desire to become more like God, rather than joining themselves to the many demonic influences that seek to draw them away, is to draw near to God ourselves, to have Him dwelling in us. His presence is fearful to the demons, as we see, because they know that His victory has already been won in His glorious and death-defeating resurrection. Let this be our aim, our hope, and our joy. Amen.